Hello, Dre.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm feeling experienced. Have you ever
I
been experienced?
might be a little bit experienced.
Okay. Well, we are talking about a 1993 compilation called Stone Free, a tribute to Jimi Hendrix. With a whole bunch of people on it. I know you know who Jimi Hendrix is.
I know who he is.
Right, but how much do you know about him?
Not very much. And
Not
I
very
am very
much.
ashamed to say that because I was listening this week and I'm like, this is not what I expected. Then again, it is a tribute album. So maybe what I'm hearing is not what he did, but I'm not very familiar. So I'm like, oh,
Okay.
all right.
There is a mix on this album of stuff that is faithful reproductions of songs that he released and stuff that are more interpretive.
Do you know all of these songs that were remade? Do you know the originals?
Oh yeah. Getting into Hendrix just as far as his solo recorded output while he was alive is actually not that difficult. He's considered to be one of the most influential rock musicians of like all time, but as far as like him by himself, it's literally three albums.
That's it.
He spent a lot of time as a sideman before that, playing for like the Isley Brothers, for example. He was with them for a while. He finally got his solo break in like 1967, and then by 1970, he asphyxiated after overdosing on barbiturates, and there you go. I knew of Hendrix from a fairly young age, but not a lot of real detailed stuff. Around like 1992 or three, not kind of in the same time range as this tribute album was released, there was a compilation album re released called The Ultimate Experience, after his band The Experience. And it basically has all of the important stuff covered. So that's how I know most of the stuff from originally. Now, since
Okay.
then, I've got copies of the three original albums, and I've got scattered about other tracks from other projects. So I wouldn't say I'm exactly a Hendrix scholar, but I've got a decent familiarity with his recorded output.
Got it. See, all I know is whatever is popular and played on commercials and movies and TV and that
Which
stuff.
is quite a lot.
I wouldn't know it from listening to this because I'm like, ah, these songs don't sound familiar at all. There were like two that
Okay,
sounded
so
familiar.
what did you recognize?
Unfortunately, I only wrote down one of the albums that I knew. Like I took notes on that one. That was Hey Joe. And there was another one, but I did not run back to my notebook to write down which one it was. It was after that.
So you are kind of coming at this album, not necessarily so much as a tribute album, just as like some random compilation.
Basically,
Okay.
that's how I come to all of our albums. This is like, oh, there's music. Okay, let's listen to it. That's how I feel every week.
You want to just run down the album and just to give an impression?
Yeah, but what you mean?
Well, I mean, like, okay, we'll start with the first track, which is Purple Haze. In this case, is performed by The Cure.
And I feel like I should know Purple Haze, but because I don't have the association of titles and
Okay,
sound in this
I
case.
guarantee you have heard. In fact, most of this stuff you've probably heard, not all of it, but probably most of it, you have heard somewhere along the line. You may not have had the awareness to put like the names together with it.
Yeah, like I'm just all right. It was nice.
Okay.
I should have listened to all the Hendrix versions, but I didn't.
This track is probably the most, not necessarily the most removed from Hendrix's original, but pretty close to. The Cure at this point was still in their like Friday I'm in Love kind of more poppy phase.
Friday, I'm in love. What?
Yeah, you've heard that. I think this is an interesting interpretation. It is not hard-edged like the original, but it's an interesting interpretation.
I thought it was a nice little 90s vibe, nice little intro track. That's what I got from it.
All right, so then we move on to Stone Free, which in this case is performed by Eric Clapton.
Ooh, the bluesy joint. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a really faithful rendition. Backing him up is basically Chic, And this is, I believe, like the last time that Nell Rodgers and Bernard Edwards and Tony Thompson of Chic actually performed together.
Oh, wow.
And of course, Nell Rodgers has done like a million things before that and a million things since then. All right. So then we move on to Spanish Castle Magic as performed by the Spin Doctors.
I call that fun.
It was. And if you just look at the track listing, you're going to say, do these guys have the chops to pull off a Hendrix tune? And it turns out they do. And it's not actually too far off of the original. They just kind of pull it together like, hey, we're pros. We can do this. No problem. Followed by Red House as performed by Buddy Guy. And this is also very faithful.
Yeah, see, I put blues exclamation point and hearts because that gave me all of the good bluesy feelings I love.
Yeah, very, very straightforward blues stuff. Then we get Hey Joe as performed by Body Count. You might remember Body Count is Ice-T's metal project.
You know what? All I wrote is that it's the most familiar song so far. That was the first song that I'm like, I've heard this before. Where? I don't know.
If I remember correctly, Hey Joe was Jimmy's first like big hit. It's like the one that got him noticed in the UK after that first album was released. Ice-T's singing voice is not that strong, but you can tell he's putting a lot of effort into it, and it's still pretty decent.
I'm going to be very honest. I have not listened to Ice-T outside of his rap, and I have not listened to much of his rap at all because there was just something about Ice-T that just always just told me no.
Body Count, if you just want to hear something that isn't him rapping so much, that's just like, this is like gangsta metal. Body Count is worth looking into.
Okay, I should check that one out.
He's got some really good stuff, but I can understand why someone would be like, yeah, like just put off.
Could get past his hair.
What's wrong with his hair?
What's not wrong with his hair?
I have no idea.
Oh my God, we'll talk about that later.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Recently I had an entire conversation about my disdain for certain artists that has nothing to do with anything except me seeing them and going, no, Ice-T is one of those people. There's something about Ice-T. The one that I was talking about recently was John Legend. There's something about those two guys. It's just a whole lot of no. When I see them, I just, you can go away now.
You don't just talk. Okay.
I'm done.
All right. Then we've got the cover of Manic Depression by Seal and Jeff Beck. Jeff Beck being one of those like guitar virtuoso kind of guys who produces just a crap ton of mostly instrumental music, and Seal being Seal.
Seal's dope.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Seal. And he puts in a really good performance here. This is also a very faithful. Are you singing Kiss from a Rose to yourself?
No, I was singing Crazy.
This pairing worked out really well.
I don't have memories of this song.
Jeff Beck likes to add extra flourishes and extend tracks out, and Seal likes to hear himself. So it really works.
Go all in. It's like, yeah, we're doing amazing things. This is dope.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nobody agrees.
Next, we get to Fire as performed by Nigel Kennedy. This one is probably the furthest afield from the original.
And what's funny is I wrote down that this one was familiar to me, probably because of the melodies. Yeah. But this is the one was like, either I don't know Hendrix, which I know I don't know Hendrix, or this shit is way the fuck off. I cussed a lot. I'm sorry.
Right. But Nigel Kennedy is a violin player. Most of the major sounds are, you know, violin. There's a cellist in there, you know, but he's also done a lot of stuff a little further afield for violin players too. Like he typically runs his violin through the same kinds of effects pedals and stacks that a guitar player would. Okay, then we get to Bold as Love by The Pretenders. There's nothing special about this track to me. And quite frankly, I've never been a fan of The Pretenders. I'm just like, take it or leave it.
They were failing before you started.
Okay, we've got You Got Me Floating as interpreted by PM Dawn.
When I saw this track title,
yeah,
the song that popped into my head.
Set Adrift on Memory Bliss?
No.
Okay.
I think it's called You Send Me Swinging by Mint Condition. That is what I thought of when I saw You Got Me Floating. So my brain went, You Send Me Swinging. That's not the song. That's
no.
But my associations are always off.
Okay, but what did you think of You Got Me Floating?
I have no notes, which tells me that it was a nice song and I had no strong opinions. Stop, pause, rewind. As I'm listening to this album, I had the revelation that it's not that music bores me. It's that if it doesn't grab me, it's nice background noise. And this album...
This is a recurring theme.
Yeah, unless it gets me in the mood, it's really good background noise, unless I dislike it, which I don't dislike much. So okay. Anyway, next.
We get a very straightforward performance of I Don't Live Today by Slash and Paul Rogers, backed by Band of Gypsies.
That's what that was. For some reason, I could not find anything to tell me what came after the word band.
Yeah, Band of Gypsies was the backing band that Hendrix had put together to back him up after disbanding the Jimi Hendrix Experience. If I remember correctly, Hendrix never released a studio album with Band of Gypsies. There was a live album released, not a regular studio, but a live album released with them. It was recorded like in January of 1970, and by the end of 1970, he was dead. So,
Aww. It
makes sense that this is a really straightforward cover because you've got Band of Gypsies backing him up, and then Slash is basically taking his place on the guitar, and Paul Rogers is doing the vocals.
And I think that might have been the one. The first song where I was like, okay, this is what I expected when I heard Jimi Hendrix was rock guitars.
Yeah, I think Slash gets a little too full of himself on this track. To be fair, I couldn't do it.
He's allowed to be full of himself. He's amazing. Yeah,
he's a very talented individual. That doesn't mean he's not full of himself sometimes. We're in the final stretch here. Okay, we've got Are You Experienced, performed by Belly. I really like this one, mostly because Tanya Donnelly's vocals. Also, I really had a thing for her, like, around that era. So, got Crosstown Traffic by Living Color.
Did we listen to them? Why do I know that name?
Well, I mean, they are one of only just a few all-Black hard rock bands from the time.
That could be why I know them then, because I'm like, Living Color, I've seen them. Did I listen to them? Have I seen their name somewhere? Do I like them? I don't remember.
The production on that particular track also worked really well. They did a lot of good panning with the left and right.
I did enjoy it.
Really you could much. Hear everything perfectly. It was great. Okay, then we've got Pat Metheny performing Third Stone from the Sun. Pat Metheny is a big jazz guitarist. This is probably the most artfully done track on the album.
What do you mean by artfully done?
Sometimes you can tell the difference between a guy who knows how to paint like one particular style and a guy who can do it all and just chooses to do a particular style.
Yes.
That's the kind of difference I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Pat Metheny can do just about anything with a guitar and he chooses to play this way. We finish up the album with Hey Baby, Land of the New Rising Sun by a group that's credited as MACC. MACC is a couple guys from Pearl Jam and a couple guys from Soundgarden. I don't know if they would have recorded this before or after, but they later did. They later performed together as Temple of the Dog and released that one album. Mike McCready and Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam on guitar and bass. And then Matt Cameron and Chris Cornell of Soundgarden on drums and vocals. But overall, did you enjoy the album?
I did. I played this on repeat multiple times over and over, like when I was out in public, because me in public are not friends.
Does it make you want to hear some of the originals?
Always. The brain that I have is when I know a song is a remake or a tribute or a sample, I want to know what they heard. Mm-hmm. Originally, to make them want to do what they did. That's how I found electronic music, because I was listening to something and there was a sample and I Googled it and I saw it and I was like, huh, what do you mean? Oh, I do plan to go through and listen to every single one of these songs
All right. How many of these artists covering songs here did you already know something about?
When you say know something about, like, know more than I might have heard a song by them.
Yes. Yeah.
I know nothing of most musical artists because I don't care what you've done. Mm-hmm. And if I find out you've been a horrible person, I have to stop listening. R. Kelly. So if we're going based off that, there's nobody that I knew anything about on here. People that I've listened to and I know I enjoy their music. I know I enjoy some Eric Clapton. I've heard of The Cure, but I cannot place them, so I don't know if I actually like them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Seal is baby daddy. Yes, he is. I've never heard of him. None. Okay, so when I saw Belly, I was like, the movie? That can't be the movie because the movie can't sing. So no. And Living Color, because it's come across my screen, and I don't know why. So yeah, I didn't know much of anything coming into here. I just knew Hendrix was amazing. I heard this one riff in my head.
Okay, so you've got a lot of new stuff to think about with this one. Are we ready to give this a score? This shouldn't be a surprise. We go through this every week.
I'm going to give this off the top of the dome in the gut a 7. Okay, so I gave it a 7. Which doesn't feel right. So now I want to change that to a 6.
Wait, why does it not feel right?
I don't know. Because now I'm like, man, my rating system is not consistent. I should write that down. Booyah, what you rate it as?
I think I'll give it a 6 also. I think we're on the same page here as far as that goes. I do enjoy it. I particularly like the stuff that goes a little further off field. Because if I wanted to hear something that was really, really faithful to what Jimmy originally recorded, I'd go listen to that. Not that there's anything wrong with just recording something that's really straightforward, but there's a million cover bands that can do that.
Yeah, and I probably would have a more accurate rating if I knew the songs beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I gave it a 7 because it's something that, like, I know I can just put this in my shuffle. Mm-hmm. And be okay. Mm-hmm. I know I can hit play at the beginning and be okay. Am I going to listen to it closely? No, but I'm not going to feel the urge to run over and hit next.
All right. Are we ready to find out what's coming next?
Next album.
Hey, Google, give me a number between 1 and 2102.
Here's a random number, 612.
So we get another artist we have done one of already. Frank Zappa's Shut Up and Play Your Guitar, which
this
is...
This better have a lot of guitar in it.
And that's our show for this week. Please rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening through, and feel free to leave a voice message on our page at anchor.fm. There's a link to it in the show description. Thank you to Dre for joining me, and thank you for joining us. Until next time, be good to your music. It's been good to you.